talking to you about, I believe that there are at least 32 different gifts or giftings of the Holy Spirit. They have different adversity, different administration of how they work, how they're displayed. And all of us in the body of Christ operate in one of these, one or two more of these gifts as we have understanding of them. And so I'm, you know, by no means I can exhaust everything about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because it's God himself. So you can never exhaust God. So I have to find a stopping place, you know, to change gears and talking to you about these gifts. But I want to focus, put a little bit more focus tonight on the praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. Because praying in the Spirit, when you pray in the Spirit, you edify yourself. And so think about the body of Christ as a whole, by and large. We have all of the power, of the ability of God living inside of us. But then at the same time, we are a body that is weakened. We're more sickly. We have more fears. We live under more stress than any generation there is. And the question you have to ask yourself, why is that, when we have so much around available to us, and not take and not partake of what is rightfully ours? Right? And so here we are. Let's look here again at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let's look at verse 3. And if you notice, we talked about chapter 12, we talked about chapter 14, and in between chapter 12 and chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians is what? Chapter what? 13, which is, we call it the love chapter. So all these gifts, manifestation, their diversity, their way of administering to the body of Christ as a whole, is all about God's love. So we use these manifestations to do what? To walk in love. Okay? It's the love of God that help us to do what? To have compassion on people, whereas we can see someone maybe ill. We can see someone at a place whereas they're at a disadvantage, and we have these gifts. We have these manifestations on the inside of us. And because we have these gifts, we have these manifestations within us, we can release the power of God that is in us to do what? To make sure that every sick is healed. To make sure that everyone's disease is whole. Are you following what I'm saying? And, you know, today, you know, meditating on the word, because, you know, there are some things that we are faced with, you know, with this building and everything else and whatnot, and just talking to the Lord and letting him talk to me. And this morning, you know, I normally read this. I have a confession that I make to myself every day. And it's been for a while, but today it really stuck out. And it goes something like this, that the word of the Lord is that don't tolerate unbelief. It is a robber of your faith. It comes to rob you of your victory. He's a cheater. He's a cheater to steal your victory. I've already made you victorious. I've already given you the victory. Rise above. Rise above it. And as I read that this morning, in reading that, you know, sometimes you look and say, Lord, I need $43,000. Or Lord, I need $50,000. And it's like, that's not what you need. When I read my confession this morning, It says, he's a robber. He come to rob you of your faith. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Did I give y'all the scripture yet? I didn't give you. Okay. Okay. Let's look at, let's look at, before we go to 1 Corinthians 14:3, let's look at this verse of scripture in Ephesians chapter 3 and look at verse 20. And this, I believe what we're going to say tonight is going to really impact all of you that are here and those that are listening by Facebook or that will be listening. And first, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, notice it. It says, now unto him. We're talking about God. Okay. Now unto God that is able. Think about it. To do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Did you hear it? Did you catch it? Notice what it was saying. It said, now unto him, meaning God, that is able. That means he's able. Didn't say he would, but he said he's able. Because there's a conjunction that there is the second half of this verse is all dependent upon my response. Okay, we quote this verse all the time, but I stopped quoting it for a little while because I didn't understand the part that where it says, according to the power, there has been great discussion about the word power that worketh in us. Okay, and I come to the conclusion that that power that works in us, it works by faith. The power that be in us, it is the Krata power. It is the dunamis power. It is the power of creation, the power of authority that God has given unto us, the ability that God will release within us when we release it by faith. See, we release it by saying, and then God's ability gets up on it, because what we're releasing God's ability up on some, but before that ability is in action, what has to take place? One has to walk in authority before the ability can be released in what is saying, right? Y'all understand what I just said? So let's put it like this. Watch this. So now unto him that is able, God, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Right? So it's not about the money that you have need of. It's not about the healing that you have need of. Right? It's not about the decision you have need of. What it is that you have need of, it is an anointing. Learning how to release that power, that anointing that Jesus gave unto us through the new birth, so that God, it says, now unto him that's able to do it. In other words, I'm going to bring resolve to this, but I'm able to exceed that. I'm able to do more than that. In other words, I'm going to give you your answer to your prayer. Right? But notice this. He said, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask. Now, the word ask in there, it means to make a demand. You're not making a demand on God. You're making a demand upon God's creation. Let me show you what I mean by that. I'm going to come back to this because we're going to milk this a little bit more. Look at Isaiah 45:11. I believe that's right. Isaiah 45:11, where the Lord was saying, command ye me, my hand, the work of my hand. You're not commanding God. You're commanding the handiworks of God to do what? To come to you. You're calling forth something that be not as though they were. Watch this. Is that right? Yeah. Notice this. Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask me of what? Things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hand, command ye me. That's what I want you to focus on. Concerning the work of my hand, command ye me. You're not commanding God. You can't command God to do anything, but you can command what God, through grace, what he's already made provision for. Are you following what I'm saying? Meaning, if God never made provision for healing, you can't command healing to come. If God never made provision for money to come to you, you could never command money. Right? Because it is he who gives you power to do what? To get wealth. I mean, he gives you an ability to get it. And once you have it, he said, now I'm able to do exceeding. I can exceed that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's leading me. Look at 2 Kings chapter 3. I don't know how I know all these verses. 2 Kings chapter 3, I believe. And this is about Solomon. I think this is Solomon's prayer. Am I right, Casey? This is about Solomon. He did not ask for gold. He did not ask for silver. And this is what I'm saying. Sometimes we get in a place where, Lord, I have need of this. And it's like God was saying to Moses, why are you crying to me? What is that in your hand? You understand what I mean, JW? JW, I tell you, my man. All right, so look at 2 Kings chapter 3. Huh? Oh, it's not 2 Kings 3? Hold up. It's First King? Let's see here. Where did I get? Okay. I'm looking for Solomon. I'm looking for his prayer.
King Solomon's prayer.
Yeah. No. 25. Wait a minute. Okay, somebody, his prayer goes something like this. His prayer goes something like, whereas, God, you have honored my father David, and you have. I mean, that's good, but that's not it.
Okay, you have honored
that's not it.
What's the verse you have honored?
I love it when there's a Bible study.
You have honored. I need some more words.
What she said? No. Okay. You have honored my father David, And you have put me in trust with all of these people. And it was like, how can, it might be 2 Samuel. How can I, it's going to be in Samuel. Go to 2 Samuel. No, yeah. Let's see. No, here it is. Is it? Yeah. 1 Kings 3. Thank y'all so much. 1 Kings 3. And let's just look at verse 3. 1 Kings 3 and verse 3. It really starts at verse 11. So I had said 2 Kings, but it's 1 Kings 3. All right, here we go. It's 1 Kings 3. And look at verse 3. And notice what it says. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statute of David his father, and only he sacrificed burnt incense in high place. Now, what I'm trying to show you is God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Solomon, watch this. Next verse, Case. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offering did Solomon offer up on the altar. Next verse. And in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And this is Old Testament. This is the same spirit, same manifestation of the Holy Spirit that's on them, that you have the completeness of it in you. The Spirit of God had to come up on them to release. The Spirit of God has come up out of you and I to release. Okay, because we're sons and daughters. All right? So notice this. So he said, ask what I should give thee. Boy, that's powerful, huh? Look, when you see the scripture speaking like this, God is still talking to you right now, not like that. You have to literally take the word of God by faith, and that's why faith is so important, because that's what the Lord is saying. The thief, Satan, come to rob you of your faith, unbelief. He's a thief. He's a cheater. He come to steal your victory. Glory to God, right? Next verse. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Next verse. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out or come in. This is humility. Anybody want to take a guess how old he was? Huh? 17 years old. He was younger than I. He's a year younger than I was. All right. Now, let's next verse, Casey. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered. What I'm trying to say. Now, look at this. God is the one that accumulated all these people, brought them out of Egypt, and made a nation of them. Are y'all seeing this? What I'm trying to show you, the purpose of having the ministry of the Holy Spirit living inside of us in the fullness. whether it be the working of miracles, the gift of healing, whether it be the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. I mean, it, you know, whatever these manifestation that is needed so that the body of Christ can prosper or be blessed by. I'm telling you, God allowed these gifts. I mean, when he could see these gifts are functional and you allow them to function as a body, God will draw people in so that they can receive the encouragement, so they can be edified, so that they can be comfort. Everybody doesn't come in comfort. Some people come in heavy loaded, heavy laden. They come in weary, right? They got a negative report. They got fear up on them, right? Because of some report that they got, or maybe the way something is turning out. And then all of a sudden, because we as a body of Christ, a spirit-filled body of Christ, I tell you what, the word of exaltation is so powerful. Or the word that, you know, someone that can, that have a word from God that teaches a revelation, something that God showed them, and all of a sudden you reveal that to the body of Christ, you don't know who you're talking to. And what is happening in the last 15, 20 years, the church has found a way to pull back on allowing all the gifts of the Spirit to function as he will. We have put it to the place to where that we systematically know what we're going, how church service is going to go this day. We leave no room for the Holy Ghost to flow. That's why the church is where it is. We are the ones that has life. We have the life giver on the inside of us. But if we don't make ourselves available, we hold the life giver. The Spirit is present, but the life giver to the weary, to the one that's in sorrow, to the one that's in pain, we release that. We have to release the life giver that is in us so that that person can experience the healing. They can't get healed without you and I. Somebody have to release it. Someone has to be able to, you know, get your faith up and trust in God to make that step of faith. So when the scripture says, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, as you hear the word, what is it supposed to do? It's supposed to encourage you, strengthen you to say, I'm stepping out. I'm doing this. I'm walking with God in this. I'm not looking to man. I'm not looking to nothing. It's God or nobody. That means you know something. He just came in. See, he loves it when it's like that. Watch this. And give therefore thy servant. Here we go. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to do what? To judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. See, that's already in you and I. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? It's still the same way today. Next verse. And the speech pleased the Lord. You see that? Why? Because that's humility. He's humbling himself before Almighty God. And God is the one who judges the heart, Brother George. So we can speak word, but if your heart is not in what you're saying, God knows that too. Watch this. Next verse. And God said unto him, because thou asked this thing and has not asked for thyself long life. Notice it wasn't about him. One of the things about walking in faith, allowing the minister of the Holy Spirit to walk with you by faith, You won't be concerned about you. Everything that you do, everything that you're going to carry out is going to be about for the good of others. It's the easiest way to get healed. It's not to be bombarded with your own thoughts about what's going on with you. When you begin to praise God, guess what? You're releasing his divine ability. The enemy hates praise. When you begin to say, oh, I praise you, Father. I'm not saying you have to have song. You could make your own music. Oh, I praise you, Father. Lord, I thank you. And then you get out there and you see someone else out there, less fortunate than you. Say, how you doing today, sir? Are you following what I'm saying? Well, what are you doing? I believe by faith, I believe that I was healed the moment words were spoken to me. You don't have anything, you can't feel it. You don't have anything to support it. It's just like financially. I believe every dollar that we have need of, God has already sufficiently, abundantly above, already met it, is already done. It's, what do I have to do? I'm trusting. I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. Matter of fact, I don't even think about it no more. What I do? I praise him. And I don't know whether you understand this or not, what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, it's like, it's not the money you need. Notice this, look at this, watch this. He said, and God said to him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast you asked riches for thyself. What are we always concerned about? Lord, I need more money. Lord, I need to become a blessing. Blessed before I can become a blessing. You already blessed. But you're looking for something physical, tangible in your hand before you can act. And you don't understand his word is the all sufficiency, all sufficient one. It's never stopped until there's no more to conceive. Meaning on your part and my part. God's sufficiency will always supply as long as the line is open. It's like a person, you know, who may have a heart attack. What's happening? What's the purpose of a heart attack? The artery has constricted where blood can't flow, right? Is it because the blood not flowing? The blood is flowing, right? But it can't get. That's the blessing. The blessing is there flowing in us. It is here, but it can't really get to us because there's some constriction in how I think. How I look at it. You can't use your little peanut brain and think that you can walk in these truths, these spiritual truths. It ain't gonna work. Your brain don't register that high. That's why you are born again. Watch this. And God said, go back for a moment. And God said to him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast you asked for riches of thyself, nor have you asked for the life of thine enemy. No, he has no hate. Man, I get in power, I'ma show them. Payback is coming. You can't walk with God like that. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not God not releasing. We have some constriction that's causing the power or the ability to be released. It could be fear. It could be unbelief. It could be unforgiveness. Right? Watch this. But has asked for thyself an understanding to discern judgment. And we still all still need understanding. The eyes of our understanding, according to Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of your understanding is being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Watch this. Next verse, Case. Behold, I have done according to thy words, and lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, and neither after thee shall any arrive like unto thee. Keep going. And I've also given thee that which thou hast not asked. Oh, both riches and honor. So that there should not be any among the king like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandment as thy father David did walk, and then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke. He was in a dream. And behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem, and he stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered a burnt offering and offered peace offering and made a feast to all his servants. And then he got tested. You see, that wisdom on the inside of you, you have light, you have understanding. Okay, look at the verse of scripture that showed two women had the baby. Both women had a baby. There we go. Now he's getting ready to be tested. What God put in him now is getting ready to be displayed. Right? Watch this. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. Watch this. And one of the women said, "Oh my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house." Well, they delivered them babies. They had them babies themselves, right? All right. Next verse, that's it. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. She laid on top of it, right? She killed her own baby. Keep going. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. Oh, that's something, huh? And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. It's like you can't fool a mama. She knew her child, right? Next verse. And the other woman said, "Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son." And this said, "No. But the dead is thy son, and the living is my son." Thus they spake before the king. Boy, that's a mess, huh? That's his first, what do you call that? First child being the king. How would you like that? Now, listen to what the king says. Now, this is God giving him this wisdom. Giving him discernment. Because that's what's happening here. Watch this. And then said the king. The one said, "This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead." And the other said, "Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living." And the king said, "Bring me a sword. Whoa. That don't sound like that from God. Huh? What I'm trying to show you, When God began, notice that there's a revelation inside of you. There's awareness on the inside of you. There's a knowing inside of you. You know this is the way to go. But your head gonna do everything it can to talk you out of it. Watch this. And they brought him a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and the half to the other. Boy, that sounds cruel, huh? That's wisdom. That's not. That's discernment. That's understanding. Remember what he asked the Lord for? An understanding heart to discern, to judge, right? And then spake the woman who the living child was unto the king, for her bowel yawned up on her son, and she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, she'd have been better off kept her mouth closed. Look at that. Let it be neither mine's nor thine, but divided. What she just told on herself. You see, you saw the wisdom of God? Huh? So what he had? But he had understanding how to follow what God was saying, how God was leading. And next verse. And the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Can you see that? And it goes on and on. King Solomon was telling. Now go back to 1 John. I mean, not 1 John. Let me show you another way of how the Holy Spirit is direct and ministers. Go to the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus. We have to close with this. That time flies by so fast. Exodus chapter 14. And the children of Israel is, they're out, they're out of Egypt, but yet here they are. Look at the 14th chapter and keep from having this thing. Okay, look at, let's go, let's start at verse. Let's start at verse 1. And then we're going to jump a little bit so you can see. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. Who's saying to speak to them? The Lord saying, speak to the children of Israel that they what? Turn and what? Encamp. Is that right? Before Pi-Hazorah, between Midol and the sea, and against Baal-Zephon, before shall ye encamp by the sea. Verse 3, for Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Well, I want you to look at your situation and think about, you know, some of the ways, some of the stands that you have taken, and it look like you, things are not getting better. Don't look like you could see it. You can feel it. But I'm trying to show you that God is setting you and I up that you will never see days like this again. Right? And notice this. And he said, I will harden, verse 4 said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh, upon his host, and the Egyptian may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Okay? Now, let's jump over here. Jump down here to verse 11. God has set it up, what he's getting ready to do. But the children of Israel and Moses, It's hard for them to see this. And they said to Moses, because there was no grave in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Whereof hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Next verse. Is not this the word that we tell thee? This is one of the words the Lord gave me. In Egypt, say, let us alone. It caused, I can't really talk to you like I really want because time won't let me, but it caused for you to move forward. There's a push to keep moving forward when there's nothing appear before you to move forward to. You have to see beyond your natural eyes. You got to get beyond your natural understanding. You got to get the word. This is why you have to have the word before your eyes. This is why you have to study the word. It has to be your perception. The word itself is going to give you vision. It's going to give you sight. It's what's going to strengthen you to step out in something that you can't see with your natural eye. All right? Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptian. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptian than that we should die in the wilderness. Now they're out of Egypt. They've been shouting. They crossed the Red. No, they get ready to cross the Red Sea. And no, next verse. And Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still. And that was one of the words I heard the Lord tell me the other day. Stand still. And in that 8 o'clock class, my wife dropped some of the things she had down there. It was a cross, whatever that was. It said, there it is right there. It said, what it said, be still. God was talking to me in that. Don't be concerned about this. I got this. Amen. I got this. And, oh boy, it make me feel good when I say that. Here before, Lord, you show? Lord, is that you? Notice this. He said, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you, what? Today. Everybody say today. Yep, today the Lord will show you. For the Egyptian whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The lack of insufficiency, the sickness, the pain, the skin issue, whatever, today you will see it no more. Huh? Whatever you suffer. Whatever you've been doing, you have to look at it and you have to tell yourself, today I will see this again no more. You got to talk to yourself. Because if you keep your mouth closed, that's what the situation is made to do. It is meant to get you to keep your mouth closed. Why? It's robbing you. That's why the Lord said, he said, I've already given you the victory. Now rise above it. But to rise above it, you got to say something. You have to release that authority in order for that ability to do what? To bring forth what you call for. Next verse, please. And the Lord will fight for you. Did you hear that? That's the word. And every time a thought come up to me, well, what you going to do? Today is 11. The Lord is fighting for me. I think I can stop right here. I just want you to see this. He said, the Lord will fight for you. And look what he said. And you shall what? Fight is not yours. Hold your peace. So I'm saying to you tonight, what is your challenge? What lies have you received? I don't care what the doctor says. His report ain't the final report. And if you take his report as the final report, then hey, that's why you have no hope. Or the banker. or they come to repossess your vehicle. Ain't that word not the last word, right? Glory to God. You receive that tonight?